Has anyone here had Jesus call your name?
Yes.
Do you remember the day? Do you remember the time?
Yes.
Or maybe you even remember where you were, or that there was a time where you didn't have Jesus, and you knew what your life was like without him. And then there was a time that you came to believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and he called your name. So for that and so many other things, let's thank him now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for calling my name. Oh, hallelujah. We dedicate this time. We put our focus on you. Of all the days throughout a year, this day, among many, we celebrate you going to the cross and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And on the cross, you cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. So you paid a price that none of us could pay or afford to pay. You who were righteous and are righteous and good and holy, fully God and fully man, died for sinners. But 3 days later, rose again. Oh, and you call us to life too. And you call us to take the wonderful message, the good news, the gospel, that a holy, righteous God, you who are, were offended by mankind's sin, but sent forth your Son, Jesus Christ, sent you, Jesus, so that if we believe, repent and believe on you, we'd have eternal life. And you invite us to take that message to others. So we dedicate this time to you. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. And God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you're excited today. I hope you're encouraged. It's been already said, but I'll say it again. If you're visiting, you're welcome here. And we sure hope you'll come back again and worship with us and come to know and follow, if you don't already know, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if not, if this is just the one time that you come through, I pray for you and everyone else here and those online that Jesus Christ would be the Lord and Savior of your life. The best thing that I can give to you is Jesus. Oh, he's wonderful. The good news is good news. And just in meditating on this day and walking with the CBC family, I'm so encouraged to be with you here. We do have good news. And in a bad news world, the gospel message is good news. That you and I are not alone in this universe. You have a creator, and I have a creator who made us, shaped us, who knows us and every single thought, young people and old. God loves you and knows you. And he wants to live with you and walk with you and talk with you. I just want to testify for a moment. I was born July 3rd, 1970. I was born at night, but not last night. But my real birthday came on a campus in Pennsylvania, a place called Lincoln University, where the gospel was preached and the offer for forgiveness of sins came. And someone said, "Don't you walk out that door without turning your life to God." And I was sitting somewhere in the back. I was way over on the back side, and I sensed the Holy Spirit moving on my heart that I need forgiveness. See, these are spiritual realities. We know when we're guilty. As a little kid, you steal that cookie from the cookie jar? You know you shouldn't do that. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Bible says he wrote his law on our hearts so that we know right from wrong. Get a little older and you mess around on your taxes, you know, April 15th. Yeah, you know you shouldn't have wrote that. But the Bible says that that's called sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God, the book of Romans teaches us. And the wages or that payment for that sin, I haven't got to the text yet, is death. And even hell. That's the bad news. Y'all want to hear some good news?
Yes.
The good news is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. It's good news. It's good news. It's good news for you here in this building. It's good news when you go home. It's good news when you're at school. It's good news when you're riding on that crazy 405, because you have a God who will walk with you, talk with you, be with you, so that when we gather together to worship, this is just not some emotional thing going on. We are communing with our Creator who loves us. Oh, I'm excited. This is good news. So if you've been with us, we've been walking through the book of Mark. And prior to the book of Mark, we were actually going through parables, parable principles. I know if you have your bulletin, you might even want to write notes. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, and that's from Mark 16, 15. And I know they'll have the verse up overhead. Thank you so much. That's our main scripture we're going to land on. And in meditating on this wonderful time together, I was praying about this text and praying about even things in my own life for that matter. And we do have good news in a bad news world. But the good news overrides it all. So we'll be walking towards this main verse, and I appreciate you keeping that overhead. I love this image there. You've seen the prophets of the Old Testament looking forward to Jesus, the apostles of the New Testament looking back. And so that kind of gives you a timeline. And if you're one that writes notes, we'll look at the man, his Messiah, and the message. And if that sounds familiar, we kind of began that way with Mark, because Mark, in this gospel account, is tying things up by the Spirit who led him and gave him the inspired word. And then we'll really land on this message part. So I want to read the first 14 verses before we get to 15. And so if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified." Some would say that young man was an angel. "He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I want to pause at verse 8. Many would say that these were the earliest manuscripts that were recorded, and so oftentimes, sometimes the Bible account will just show that highlighted, because later manuscripts, and not to nerd out too much, because I can do that, will pause there. But if you will, follow with me a little bit longer through the text of Scripture, which also has this recorded. "Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either." Verse 14, "Afterward, he appeared to the 11 disciples, 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen." In verse 15, which is our main text today, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" Amen. God's word for us today. The man, his Messiah, and the message. Mark, or John Mark, who wrote this gospel account, was one who had been discipled by and mentored by the Apostle Peter. And it's fascinating how God uses people, and sometimes strengths, weaknesses, failures could be instrumental in the development not only of that person, but the person who will come after. If you're familiar with the Bible story, there was a time where Peter denied Christ. He put it plainly, he blew it. When the pressure was on and he was warming himself by the fire of the enemies, they said, hey, you talk funny. You sound like one of those Nazarenes. And yeah, you were part of them. And eventually said, I don't know the man. And he cussed and even saw Jesus looking at him. And he went out and wept bitterly. But thanks be to God that the Bible teaches us that God gives second chances. Has anyone here ever had second chance? Don't be shy. Maybe third, maybe fourth, maybe fifth. Because he is a forgiving God. And this is something that's worthwhile to remember when we consider the magnificence, the wonder of the resurrection. Because the resurrection is about new life. He has new life rising from the grave, meaning he's still God, still man, but he rose from the grave after he fulfilled his work. But then he brings about new life in his people. And so Peter gets recommissioned, and there'll be a time later in the service, if you're here today and you've been straying, to come back. But Peter, he gets the message from Jesus himself. You can read this in John. He asked Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And there's a lot to say about that. And Peter goes on from being one who flags and falters in his commitment to God to really serving God passionately the rest of his life. He had a few hiccups along the way, but some accounts say that he was so forward in his commitment that when it was time to be crucified, he says, I'm not worthy of even put me upside down. That's a whole other story. So Peter finishes strong. But there was a man who went out on the mission field with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, his cousin. And when things got hot and things get difficult, because sometimes if you're a Christian and people know you're a Christian, whether you're a young person or old, you know, you're one of those Christian folks. And, you know, it can be hard. And this young man defected. We don't know. He basically left. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had a falling out. Paul was like, you know, I'm not taking this guy with us again to visit churches. Barnabas was like, hey, give him another chance. Give him another chance. I'm paraphrasing here. And eventually, Paul and Barnabas part ways. Paul taking Silas, you read this in the book of Acts, and they go about the missionary journey. But Barnabas goes and takes this young man who happens to be his cousin, and his name is John Mark. And John Mark eventually gets mentored by Peter. And if you're following along, this is just backstory talking about the man who wrote this book. God will go on to use this young man in a very powerful way in the advancement of the gospel message and the changing of lives of people. So all of that background is to say this. You might be down today, but you don't have to stay down. You might be somebody in the family that everybody counts out, but that doesn't mean that God counted you out. He is able to change us. And one of the most powerful witnesses to the truth of God is when someone receives the gospel and then he begins to shape new life in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is one of the most powerful things that I've seen in my life. I'm just amazed. Some of my friends you wouldn't want to be around, but you'd be one of the most safest places in the world because they have Jesus in their heart and their life, their mind has been so radically changed. And they might be tatted up, they might have done time, they might have done some horrible things, but I can entrust my own child in their hands because they're so changed. Yes. So whether you're up and out doing well, but you sense that you're bankrupt without Jesus or you're in the gutter, this same God brings good news. And he used a man that needed a second chance to do it here. That's all background. Bear with me. We're going to land on the text. We're going to get there. That's the man. but then his Messiah. In this account, and if you were with us Sundays ago, Jesus asked a question to the men that were with him, the disciples that were with him. He said, who do men say that I am? And they answered generally, you know, some say Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then he lands the question to them, which this gospel account of Mark answers. He says, who do you say that I am? Put it plainly, who is Jesus to you here? You may have had a bad experience with people who profess to be Christians. That happens because we're not perfect. But the question remains, who is Jesus Christ to you? May I submit to you, he's perfect. His character is flawless. He's compassionate and kind. And may I also say he's real. If you never talk to me or see me again, but if you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, I mean, if you really get to know him, he will change your life. He's wonderful. Okay, I'm just testifying up here a little bit. Yes, we fall short, but he never does. And this Jesus, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Simon, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that, but my Father gave it to you. So in other words, Peter had a moment where God himself gave him the answer, which that's a whole other discussion right there. There is a sense that people are longing for the real king. I'm going to nerd out a little bit. Any sci-fi fans here? Anybody? Star Trek, Star Wars, all that stuff? Or even, for that matter, fantasy like Lord of the Rings? I'm a nerd. I can't say I'm endorsing all of that, but recently they had the movie Doom. Some of y'all seen that. And there's some warnings about trusting man's version of a Messiah, trusting people who will take those reins of leadership and lead you in ways that are wrong. But on the affirmative side, it taps into this longing desire for who really is in charge of the world, who will set things to right, who is the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may I submit to you, when Peter says, Jesus, you're the Christ, he's saying that that is the true king. This is who the world needs. This is who I need and you need. This is the message of the book of Mark, the Son of the living God. The man, his Messiah, now to the message. Jesus had told them that he would die and rise again. And just as he did, they appear at the tomb and they're amazed and they're astonished and they're afraid. And at the end of verse 8, the gospel account leads you kind of like hanging on the edge, because as the book starts off saying that this is the gospel of God, Mark is saying this is what God is doing, and yet he's inviting us to be recipients of that good news and then to take it and pass it on to someone else. So they arrive with this wonderful news that he's alive, and there's a mixture of fear but a sense of awe that he's alive. If you read in Matthew chapter 28, he indeed gives them what we call the Great Commission, or he invites them, or commands them rather, to take this message. And there'll be four things I'll talk about in this message, and you can see it overhead. You might even read it with me. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Amen. I won't go into the succeeding verses. God empowered the apostles to do powers and miracles to confirm his word. There are no apostles here, because you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus to be an apostle. The apostles were authorized to write scripture. That's not us. So if anybody says, I'm writing the book of hesitation, run from them. All right? Our words are not his words. Okay? Just to be clear. All right? There are no apostles, no prophets, because they got the express, direct word of God. We don't have that going on. But what we do have is this powerful invitation to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So if you're taking notes, go. This is Jesus talking. Or if you read in the text of the Greek, as you are going. So there's a sense that initially, Jerusalem, people would come up to Jerusalem to worship. They were centered there. So everyone was coming to that point. But now this message is not to be contained in one region, but is literally to go outward. So someone gave you the message. Earlier I asked, were you called? Did that name that was called, were you called out of that grave? And there were a lot of hands, and that's wonderful. Someone took it to you because they obeyed the command to go. Amen? Amen? You might even remember who that person was. Think in your mind, who obeyed that go command? I could think about my pop. I think about my grandmother. I could think about my mom. I could think about deacons in the church. I could think about people in the neighborhood who said, you know, I think I'm going to talk to that Clemens boy about Jesus. They could have just let me go by. And let the drug dealer talk to me. Let the people running, doing things wrong talk to me. But they said, I'm going to talk to that young man about Jesus. They went. My question to you is, are you going? And it doesn't have to be big. It could just start with your family. You may be the only Christian in your house, but go anyway. You may be the only Christian on your job, but go anyway. Now, we don't have to be obnoxious about it, but as you are going, as you're living your life, let them know who you're living it for. Amen? For Jesus. So that's the first, is to go. But then it's into all the world, the cosmos, the world. Now, that doesn't mean we're like James Thaddeus Kirk or Tiberius Kirk going into different galaxies, but what it does mean is into this world that we live in. Simply put, let's not keep our faith in a box. It's interesting in this age where people will talk about literally everything. You could be in a meeting, in a board meeting. They could be suited up and just cussing and carrying on. And they'll start trucking out any kind of thing. Well, what do you think, Charles? Well, since we're all speaking freely, may I speak freely too? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Here's why. And well, let's change the subject. Well, weren't we just talking freely over here? Can I talk freely too? See, just I'll give you a little strategy there. Doesn't have to be mean-spirited, but yeah, go ahead, speak your mind. Go ahead. May I speak mine too? Go into all the world. For the early church, that was a bit hard because it was a radical shift because from Jerusalem to now going out with the Goyim, with the Gentiles. Ooh, there's some stinky folks out there. And I are it. So that was his command to go into the world. But watch this. He says to preach. Does that mean we go around every day with our Bibles bashing folks? Not necessarily. But there is a sense that the preaching of the word is a proclamation. Let me explain this. It's one thing to me to talk about the scripture, or talk about Christ, or even give a description, or maybe even explain things, or instruction. But proclamation has to do with bold conviction. Let me make this plain. If I were to ask anyone in this room, who is your favorite basketball team, or favorite football team, or baseball team? Well, I'll just go ahead and ask that. Favorite baseball team? All right. Didn't take long for y'all to answer that, right? Now, I would imagine you have a reason why, whether it's the Dodgers or Cardinals or somewhere else, you have reasons why they're your favorite. And you can probably hold to them. I can bring it even closer to home. You know, who's your favorite grandchild? Don't answer that, right? Or favorite, but you have reasons. The preaching of the gospel, it's about proclamation with bold conviction. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is good in his word and in his deeds and his actions. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He embraced those who others would not. He called men to himself. He died on the cross for his sins. These things I state boldly and without apology. So you can simultaneously love someone but have the conviction enough to make those proclamations, whether it's in conversation or if God calls you to preach in the streets or whether you're just talking over Bible study, that you can stand on those words and proclaim them to people who desperately need to hear it. Preach the gospel. Let me say it this way. If I'm in the hospital and I just got a report and someone says, Mr. So-and-so, you have a month to live. And now I'm trying to figure things out and I'm making visits and I come to a room or what have you. In that moment, the person that gets that report, they need to know the truth. And friends, you and I, we don't know what time we have. Can I just say it plainly? Some of us here may not see 2025. But where you stand eternally matters to God. My question is, does it matter to you? And if it matters to you, and if you have right standing with God through Jesus Christ, let people know about a God who forgives, a God who gives second chances, a God who will walk with you and talk with you. So preach the gospel in actions and in word. We're almost through. Are y'all hanging with me? Yes. Lastly, to all creation, so I look around this room, different ages, sizes, backgrounds, all of us have been made in the image of God. And Mark, moved by the Spirit, is letting them know the expanse in which the message that Jesus conferred to him is to go to all creation, all around the world. This message brings hope and life, healing and salvation to all people. In other words, to all kinds of people. Some of you may be starting a Bible study at your job. There may be executives that are going through a tough time in their home or on their place of work, and you may just say, hey, you know, we're going to take time, 15 minutes, and just pray for each other at 12 o'clock. You want to join us, and we'll go for a walk. That's one way to take the message to those who need it. Some of you are ministering to folks within the neighborhood, and I understand there are homeless encampments, and I work with brothers. We go into the neighborhood in L.A. The gospel's needed there. Some of you are coaches and work with young people who are making major decisions about life and where they'll go or what career they'll take, and you're going to be the one to pray for them. Or maybe you're a young person here, and you're looking at what God would do with my life. Just know that this great adventure God invites you and I on can take you literally into all of his creation. My question for you, will you go? I heard some yeses. Will you go? So today is the start of that great mission. We have good news. And that good news is to go into all the world. But it starts with saying yes to your King. And so as we're coming to a close, I want to offer two invitations. And this is the first. We started out talking about how God forgives. And you know, the Bible teaches us we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. This may be your first time in a church building like this, or maybe you've come for years, but you may have never given your life to Jesus Christ. This is something that's personal. This is something that has impact. And may I just say that God loves you? And may I say again and again that he loves you? And beyond the words that I can say, he has demonstrated his commitment to you. So the question is, will you make that commitment to him? So the first invitation is this. If you're here today and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Would you please stand and come join me here at the front, and we'll pray for you, and we'll pray for you and commit you to him, and this could be the start. Is there one or two or five or whoever who will come forward and give your life to Jesus? Let me just make it simple and plain. You can literally stand up and come have a seat down here, and we'll pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? Our worship team will be leading us in song. Is there one? And go right ahead, Jeff, as the Spirit leads you, brother. Is there one? That's the first invitation. Let me say this, and we're going to take our time. The best decision I could have ever made in my life was to turn my life over to Jesus. Doesn't mean that Christians are perfect. It means that we have a perfect God who satisfies all that we need eternally because of his righteousness. Is there one who will give his life to Jesus or her life? Is there one? Come on down up front. I'm in no hurry. Here's the reality. Someone is the Lord of your life. If you've been in charge of your life, and I know what that's like, it doesn't go so good. It's hard to live this life without having God as King. Is there one? As I give this invitation, just recognize that you will leave this place, and at some point in time on your life's journey, you will stand before your God and Creator. What a wonderful thing to stand before him forgiven. What a wonderful thing to stand before him free. What a wonderful thing to stand before him to know that that weight of sin that's been on your shoulders was taken away at the cross. Because somebody has to pay. If you want to give your life to Christ, come on down. Here's my second invitation, and again, I'm not hurrying. You may already have been walking with Christ, but you have strayed. I wish to pray for you, and will pray for you, that you recommit your life to Jesus. You may be experiencing the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. It's not me, but if the Spirit is tugging you, respond to that and recommit your life to Christ. Is there one? In the balcony, up front, who have turned back to Jesus, is there one? All right. Amen. We see one. Come on down, brother. We'll pray for you. Let's thank God. Is there another? Is there another? Amen. Let's thank God. Amen. Come on down, sister. Y'all can grab a seat right here. God bless you. Let me be clear. This is not theatrics. This is not show. This is about settling accounts with your God and your Creator. When I travel, when I visit places, there's a day that after all the enjoyment that I have to go down and settle up my bill and head on home. And I think about that as an illustration of this life. When it's all over and you stand before your God because of Jesus' love for you, forgiven, forgiven, and you can enter into his presence by faith in him. Now, I have come up times and I've seen that bill and I don't have enough to pay it. My sins, Charles's, Charles Lee Clemens Jr., I don't have enough righteousness in my account to pay for that before a holy God. But you know the good news is? Jesus does. So don't you leave this place without settling your accounts with your God. Mark needed forgiveness. Peter needed forgiveness. Charles Jr. needs forgiveness. And you do too. I'll give this invitation one last time. Is there someone who will come? Maybe you have, this is your day to commit to Jesus or recommit because you're straying. Last call. For the elders and deacons, deaconesses, please wrap your arms around our brother and sister here. Encourage them in the faith. And anyone that wants to come forward, we're going to pray for them. Thank you, brother. We're going to pray for them. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today is a wonderful day because it's about new life. It's about you, Jesus. And then, Father, as the gospel message has been presented today as best I could, seeds that have been maybe sown in the hearts of your people, may they grow. Chase away the evil one and his efforts to take away the seed of your word. May your spirit germinate and grow within them and each of us. And God's people, we all together said amen and praise God.